The following is an AUFans.com production. It's a new day, Auburn fans!
It's time, everybody! It's time for the AU Fans Podcast! Woo!
Prepare to be entertained and informed.
What about it, punk?
Your life might even change.
Do you bleed orange and blue?
War Eagle!
War Eagle.
You are about to enter the AU Fans Podcast with expert witness testimony. Expert commentary delivered straight to your plate by Stan the Unusual Man Stevens.
Alrighty. There you go, Stanley. What do you say? Give it to us straight, man.
Thank you, Jay. War Eagle, everybody. And welcome to this week's AUFans.com podcast. I am your host, Stan Stevens. Well, the Auburn Tigers' undefeated season of 2013 came to an abrupt end Saturday night at LSU's Tiger Stadium by a score of 35-21. The first 5 minutes of the game actually turned out to be the turning point of the whole ball game. After taking in the opening kickoff into LSU territory, Coach Malzahn decided to go for it on 4th-and-1, and actually, if Nick Marshall makes a clean handoff to Cameron, Artis Payne, we had the first down. Artis Payne went up in the hole for 2 or 3 yards before he was hit. Unfortunately, the first turnover of the game, LSU recovered, and then they went down and scored pretty quick. So, it's before you could get in your seat good, it was 7-0. We took the next kickoff. We were 3 and out, four and out, I guess. And of course, our All-American kicker Stephen Clark, in the driving rain, mishandled the snap, fell on it at the Auburn, 9-yard line. A play later, and LSU also, ran it in. It was 14-0, just like that. Now, it's hard enough to spot anybody 14 points, but spotting LSU on their home field at night 14-0 was tough. But I guess the best thing that came out of that, and the big difference that we've seen, and this is the fourth game that I've seen this, is this Auburn team, coached by Gus Malzahn and his staff, they never stop fighting. And as Auburn Tiger fans, I think we all have to be excited and encouraged by the amount of fight and that Coach Malzahn has put in this team. The pretty much the first half was owned by LSU. In fact, they go into halftime with a 21-0 lead. Now, how many times last year at this point you knew the game was over? And in fact, last year's team, unfortunately, would continue to give up more and more points, and it would oftentimes turn into a rout. This year's Auburn team, again, you can tell the difference. The first play of the second half, Jerome Whitehead intercepted Mettenberger's throw. Auburn goes down and scores, and just like that, it's 21-7. Auburn eventually got it to 21. Late in the game, we had an onside kick that looked like it went our way, but on further review, they said that Cody Parkey touched the ball before it got to the 10 yards. But even then, Auburn held, got the ball back, and drove it down to LSU's 6-yard line, got a procedure penalty, and moved it back to the 11, and really went backwards from there and that end of the game. Now, in between all that, again, I saw a lot to be excited about if you're an Auburn Tiger fan. This offense that has at times sputtered, moved the ball. Well, the offensive line pretty much handled LSU's defensive front for the whole ball game. Now, they didn't push them all over the field, but there were a lot of plays, most of the plays, where Nick Marshall had time. The offensive line gave the running backs some room. Trey Mason finished well over 100 yards rushing. So it was certainly something to be excited about going forward, in that our offensive line play has been pretty solid all year. again, the other intangibles, if you will, of Auburn fighting to the very end. I mean, that's one thing about this staff, and Coach Malzahn in particular, as you saw him in the fourth quarter, I think the guys, Todd Blackledge and them covering the game, even said that Auburn sideline acted like it was, you know, almost nothing to nothing in the first quarter, even though Auburn was down by a lot. And again, Auburn came back and really could have easily made it 35-28. I mean, LSU scores 14 points in the first 5 minutes, and they scored, you know, 21 points in the next 55 minutes. So, again, a lot of teams, and I'm afraid last year's Auburn team, after the first 5 minutes of that game going down 14 to nothing, would have probably thrown in the towel. So it's refreshing. Again, it's uplifting, exciting, whatever word you want to put there, that this Auburn team looks to be just a different mentality. Also, even defensively, we gave up way too many big plays. The second half, we did get a little pressure on Mettenberger, sacked him a couple of times, started shutting down the run, and played much better. Of course, by then, the damage was already done. We gave up too many big plays. We had way too many missed tackles. And offensively, we turned the football over. We had at least two fumbles and, I think, two interceptions. But the turnovers, again, when you go in and play a team of LSU's quality at their home stadium, turnovers are going to make the difference in the ballgame. And again, in fact, LSU, as I said, their first 14 points came as a result of turnovers. It was a tough ball game physically. Unfortunately, we lost a starting wide receiver, Jalen Denson, for the season. We had some other bumps and bruises. We had some guys that didn't play in the game. Starting cornerback Chris Davis was out again last week. The starting defensive end, Craig Sanders, also sat last Saturday. So the open date has come at a good time for us. We needed it. That was a fourth really physical football game that we have played in. And hopefully this week, as I've been reading, we've been working on Auburn. We'll start, you know, getting ready for Ole Miss. But right now we're trying to make Auburn better, correct the mistakes that are, you know, fixable. And I know they've been working hard this week in practice to do that. I'm not going to talk much or really going to talk any about Ole Miss since we are open. We'll address Ole Miss next week. At next week's show, after seeing what Ole Miss does against Alabama, I'll have a better feel, I think, for what we're up against. I think Ole Miss has got a good football team, and it's going to be interesting to see what they are able to do after having a week off themselves, getting ready for Alabama, you know, traveling to Tuscaloosa. Again, so to kind of recap where I feel like Auburn is right now, starting offensively, the offensive line play has been very solid. Coach Grimes has done a great job with those guys. They are definitely the positive force on the offensive side of the board. We've got to continue to have some guys at receiver step up. Sammy Coates made a couple of really big catches. Nick Marshall, you know, hit him in stride, and we had a big, big play that put us down near the goal line. We've got to get a few other guys involved. Now, the running game's been solid. Trey Mason, Cameron Artis Payne really had a pretty good – both of them had pretty good nights. Trey had a great night against LSU. I think Corey Grant was a little bummed up, a little banged up, so he didn't factor into it much. But the running game is pretty solid at this point. If Nick Marshall will continue to improve, and he continues to do so every week, and folks, you got to remember, this guy's only played, this is what, his fourth game at this level. I mean, if you had a true freshman or a redshirt freshman in there and had played their fourth game, You would be very impressed with where this guy was. I think the fact that, you know, he comes in as a junior college guy, maybe people's expectations are a little bit too much. But you can see that Nick's got a lot of ability. He's got a big arm. And if he does continue to improve, and I don't see any reason why he wouldn't, We've got a chance down the road to make some noise on some teams that maybe will be favored against us. Defensively, we're still, there's no question that Ellis Johnson is one of the best defensive minds in football. I can see the improvement, and you just have to go back to last year's film to see how much we really have improved defensively. We're still, though, probably a little short. Our linebacking play could probably be a little better. Our defensive front at times gets pushed around a little bit more than I think they should. But at the same time, we're getting some good play, and we're playing a lot of folks up front, and that's encouraging. And the secondary is maybe the most improved aspect of the defense that I've seen in a while. They really are making some plays around the football. This is not the Auburn secondary of the last few years. Coach Smith and Coach Harbison have done an outstanding job with these guys, and I look for them to continue. We're awfully thin. We're really thin in the secondary. Yeah, Ryan Smith started, his second straight game. Yeah, I know we've been having to move some guys around, some true freshmen back there to provide some quality backup. So, with what the depth we have, I think we've done an outstanding job in the secondary. It's going to be, like I say, it's going to be interesting to see how we progress as we go forward. Again, this open week came at a great time. We got Ole Miss coming in. The schedule is really, really tough. Having to go to Texas A&M, playing Georgia, Alabama at home, and then on the road at Arkansas and Tennessee. Teams that we might probably match up with pretty well right now, again, having to play them on the road makes it that much tougher. Now, taking a look around the SEC from this past weekend and then what's coming up this weekend, of course, Bama struggled against Colorado State. I've heard some of my Alabama buddies kind of lament the performance against Colorado State. It seems to me that Bama kind of plays up to the level of competition. I would look for them to be ready for Ole Miss. I think the Rebels, who had a week off, are going to be, they're going to be a formidable opponent. Hugh Freeze has done a great job. They've just come back from beating Texas out there. I still like Bama's chances, about 35-24 at home against the Rebels. Welcome to the SEC, Coach Bielema. Coach Bielema had somewhat bold statements, it seemed like, in the offseason. Well, he goes up to New Jersey, and they blow a 24-7 lead to Rutgers and get beat 28-24. And Arkansas, if you look at their schedule, they're even stepping up this week at home against Texas A&M. I look for the Aggies to continue to maybe, playing offensive football like they've been playing. And I like A&M over the Pigs about 38-24. The Gators beat Tennessee at home, and it cost them their starting quarterback in the process. Jeff Driscoll broke a bone in his leg. The backup quarterback, Murphy, looked pretty good, looked very mobile. And it's going to be interesting to see how they do going forward with him. They travel to Lexington this week. I think they'll beat Kentucky. I think the game's going to be probably a little closer than maybe some people would think. Kentucky's, again, playing at home. Mark Stoops is familiar with the Gators. New quarterback on the road. I do like Florida, but I think it's going to be a little bit closer. I'm saying Gators 27, UK 17. Of course, the game of the week in the SEC is going to be taking place over there in between the hedges, Athens, Georgia, where Georgia's hosting LSU. Of course, as we've talked about LSU got beat up pretty good. They may have lost their star defensive tackle, Anthony Johnson, for that game, or maybe for the season. I have not heard. I know they carried him off late in the game against Auburn. But they had some other guys that were bumped and bruised. And so going to Athens is going to be a tough call for LSU, I believe. LSU, though, offensively, LSU was better than I thought they would be. Coach Cameron brings that NFL experience. So you've got Mettenberger. I think you've got probably five guys right there that are going to be on that offensive side are going to be playing on Sundays. Mettenberger, the two receivers, Beckham and Landry, and then the Hill running back is, I mean, he at 230-something pounds, and with his speed, he's a tough guy to get down. Georgia showed me a lot by handling South Carolina. They were not overly impressive Saturday, but you had to kind of figure they were looking ahead past North Texas. I'm liking Georgia 38-35 in a real barn burner, maybe another thriller between the hedges. Rest of the SEC, Missouri, I like them over Arkansas State at home. Upset alert, watch out South Carolina traveling to Central Florida. Central Florida has already upset Penn State in Happy Valley, and this one is in Central Florida. This could be, I think Coach Spurrier and them will win, but watch out, it may be closer than you think. Tennessee should handle South Alabama. They've had two tough back-to-back games. I mean, it may not be tougher than playing Oregon and Florida, but Florida's defense ranked like second in the country, and then Oregon being Oregon, that's been tough. So I look for Tennessee to get back Neyland Stadium and handle South Alabama. Well, okay, this is our week to maybe sit back and watch some other teams kind of beat each other up. And hopefully, like I say, our guys have had a great week of practice and will have a great week next week getting ready for Ole Miss. It's, of course, it's that time again in the program where we want to welcome an AU graduate from across the globe. We've got on the line with us today Sato Kamaguchi. Am I saying that right?
No, it is Sudao. Sudao.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sudao. Sudao. Mm-hmm.
Sudao.
Kamaguchi. Sudao Kamaguchi.
That is correct.
Sudao, you'll forgive me if I'm not as you know, I'm a southern boy from Alabama, so if I mess that name up a little bit, you'll forgive me.
It is okay, Mr. Stevens. You told me before that sometimes you have problems with name of people, so I do not expect much from you. Really, it is okay.
Okay. Now, Sudao comes to us all the way from Tokyo, Japan.
Yeah, Tokyo.
He's a 1993 hatchery management and aquaculture production graduate from Auburn University.
That's right.
Sudao, tell us a little bit about how you've taken this fish degree, if you will, and benefited the folks there in Japan and around the world.
Fish degree. I like that. You are a funny American man, Mr. Steven. You make it sound like fish go to school. Oh, well, they do travel in schools, but no slap on the knuckles from teacher in that kind of school. Okay, so I take my hatchery management. You probably know that on a fish farm, we have hatcheries where the fish are raised and make more fish. I take my management knowledge and my production knowledge to basically help my country to produce more fish than occur just naturally when we allow nature to take over. It is known fact that fish do not, they do more reproducing, and the eggs are more protected in our hatcheries so that we can do more things with more fish.
Right.
You know, only about 75% of the fish caught in Japan, or really worldwide, are eaten by people. Some are used for products like fertilizer and soap. But it's not fish-flavored soap. I mean, it doesn't smell like fish. Not dead ones, anyway. So I'm one of the guys on a team who makes sure that we are producing enough fish from the farm where I work so that we can supply our market and several other markets on the world.
Wow, so only 75% of the fish are eaten, mm-hmm. and close to the other 25% are used in various products. I did not know that. That's interesting.
Mm, that's right, 25% or so for products. Oh, some of the other products are like glue and cat food. Hope nobody mixes those up. If they do, we have unsticky adhesives and very unhappy cat. I'm joking. Those could not possibly get mixed up. Nobody would want a sticky cat anyway.
Yeah. So, Sadai, what football question do you have for AUFans.com this week?
Well, I watch a fair amount of American football, Auburn especially, War Eagle. And when I read or hear about Auburn, sometimes they talk about star player or star positions or something like that. I don't understand who this star or who is this star or what it is that is going on with that.
Well, that's
Other question is why I see old picture of Mr. T on a stick over on the sideline for Auburn. What could this possibly mean?
Those are two very interesting questions, Sadal. First of all, the star position, as you were asking about, like last week when I had addressed a question about the Will linebacker,
I remember,
and the Mike linebacker, the star is a position that Coach Johnson, it's a hybrid position that he created when he was at South Carolina. At South Carolina, they called it the spur.
Okay.
But it's called the star position at Auburn. It's not that he's a star player. It's a linebacker that can also cover receivers. He's typically a little bit faster, maybe not quite as big as a traditional linebacker, but again, he has the ability to, on a passing play, you know, cover a receiver, but also give run support, you know, on a running play. Uh-huh. It's kind of, I understand it, it kind of came out of these new offenses. Auburn is obviously one of them that runs a hurry up. These spread type offenses where there's a need for that position to be able to cover a receiver without changing personnel. It was is really as a result of maybe having on the field a guy that can do both of those because you can't substitute as quickly.
All right. Okay.
As far as those signs with the pitchers, Coach Malzahn's offense is kind of built around the more of a visual.
I see.
And it's my understanding each week they have different photos that mean something to the players based on, I guess, what they signal in. And so that's why you've seen maybe those pictures that they had over there of different folks. I'm not sure if I saw Mr. T or not, but there's the different pictures relate to the players the different plays for that week's opponent.
Okay, Mr. Stevens. Those things make more sense to me now, and they certainly are not related to each other, which would have been my next question. You know, like, does Mr. T or Lady Gaga or Sting or Justin Bieber ever talk to the Auburn players or come to games? But I guess that wouldn't be the case. So thank you, Mr. Stevens. You are a good man for answering my questions. I thank you, kind sir. War Eagle.
Sadal, thank you. I mean, those were excellent questions. Hopefully that kind of cleared that up a little bit for you. Well, we appreciate you coming on to the show. War Eagle, Sadal, and take care. Yeah. And keep feeding the people of this planet. And don't forget, Sadal, throw in a fish sandwich or two for yourself.
I prefer chicken, but thank you.
War Eagle, Sadal, take care.
Thank you, sir.
Well, that about does it this week, folks. Thanks for joining us here at AUFans.com. And by the way, while you're here on the site, go ahead and put your email address. If you'll look there on that homepage, I believe, there's a place where you can put your email. That's only so that when the something is posted on the website, when the show is posted, that you'll get notification. I promise you, there won't be anybody showing up at your house trying to sell you any magazines. But again, folks, thanks for joining us. War Eagle, tune in next week while we'll talk about the getting ready for the Ole Miss Rebels and hopefully getting back on the winning ways. All right, folks, War Eagle, be safe. We'll see you next week.
This has been an AU Fans podcast with your host, Stan Stevens. Website and technical support provided by Keith Maxwell. Audio production by voiceofjweb.com. Join us again next week for more in-depth analysis on AUFans.com. Thank you for listening.